if you have your Bibles today, and I hope you did, and just in case you didn't, there's probably one under the rack in front of you there. And like I say from time to time, if you came and you don't have a Bible, I would love nothing more than to give you one, free of charge. And so if you are in need of a Bible, you just see me right after church. I've got several stacked in my office, and I'd love to put the Word of God in your hands so that you can have it, you can study, you can read it, and you can let God speak directly to you. That's what He does. That's where He works. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6, and as you're turning there, we're not going to have it on the screen today, so that's why I want everybody to have a copy of God's Word in your hand. Joshua chapter 6 is, if you're familiar with Bible stories, you may know this is the Battle of Jericho. Okay, the Battle of Jericho, the first city in the Promised Land that the Israelites had to conquer. Just a little bit of a background, you know, they Moses brought them out of Pharaoh's hand, right, across the Red Sea. They sent spies into the Promised Land. 10 came back and said, "Ain't no way we can make it in there. They're big and they're going to squash us." 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "No, we can take them." But the 10 overpowered the others, and they said, "No, they kind of got everybody worked up and scared." So God said, "All right, then, have it your way. You can just wander around in the desert till everybody this generation dies except Caleb and Joshua, because they were faithful to me." Well, now, here we are 40 years later. Moses is died. Joshua's taking the lead. And they're crossing over now to take what God has promised them. See, God promised this promise to them a long time ago. Back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? Here they are. They're going to go back in, and they're going to take hold of what God had promised them years and years and years and generations ago. And he's going in, and it's kind of this as we get into it in a minute, this strategy may not seem like the best strategy to you, you know, but kind of sounds kind of weird. But I want you to know, before I read the text, that some of you need to know that you're closer to what God has promised for you than what you think. Some of you are closer than you think to something God has promised you. And I want to encourage someone today who may be going through some tough times, maybe some heartache, maybe some uncertainty in your life. I want to challenge you and encourage you, don't stop short. Don't stop short. Don't you dare give up now. I used to get impressed when I'd see somebody start something, especially something big. That impressed me a lot. They would start something, you know, big endeavor, and I was like, "Wow, that's a big deal. You go, man. You go, girl." But now, you know what impresses me? When that same person has the fortitude, the stick-to-itiveness, to stick to it and finish it and see it through. That impresses me. And guess what? I don't think I'm alone. I think God is also impressed with those who finish what God has started in your life. All over this room, I believe, today, right here in this place, I believe there are promises that are waiting to be fulfilled. I believe God has put promises in your life, things, plans in your life, that He is ready to just blow you, knock your socks off, blow the doors wide open. And they're not yet fulfilled. And I want to encourage you, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't you dare quit. Joshua chapter 6, I'm going to read the first 16 verses of it, so it's going to be kind of lengthy, just bear with me. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear the sound of a long blast from the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout, and the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man, straight in." So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and have 7 priests carry the trumpets in front of it." And he ordered that the people, "Advance, march around the city with the armed guards going ahead of the ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All the time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voice. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circle it once. Then the people returned to the camp and spent the night there. You see where I questioned the strategy a little bit? I was like, wow, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And they did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout! For the Lord has given you the city." Don't stop short. I think there are at least three reasons why I believe people stop short of receiving the promises of God. Did God promise them that city? He did. He did. God has promises for you too. And I believe there are three reasons why people stop short of achieving the promise. The first one, I believe that sometimes your perspective gets blocked. My perspective gets blocked sometimes. This passage records the first battle to claim the land in the promised land, the land that the Lord had promised to his people for generations. And I think there's always a problem standing between God's promise and your possession of that promise. I believe there's a purpose for that difficulty also. Jericho is that problem here. And I want to tell you today that some of the stuff you're scared of is a sign that the enemy's scared of you. You see, back in verse 1, it says, "Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in." You know why? Now Jericho was not a big city. It wasn't big, it just had big walls. Okay? But it wasn't a big city. And it was cram-packed full of people. You know why? They saw the Israelites cross the river. They went, "Woo! Let's go get inside." And they all ran to the city, locked it up, shut it down. No one came in. No one went out. They were scared. The problem that you have in your life right now is it's scared of you. It's run in, it's fortified itself up, and it's kind of made this stronghold, and it's scared because it knows that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit residing within you, there is nothing that you cannot accomplish. All things are possible through Jesus Christ. Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. See, they had heard the Israelites. They'd heard of them. They heard the battles that they'd fought in the wilderness. And they saw the size of the army. There were millions. They were huge. So they ran to the city and they shut the doors. Now I want you to look at verse 2 real quick. "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men.'" And there's something interesting going on here, right? Jericho. All these people, they ran to the city, they shut the door. God says to Joshua, "Look, see, I have given them to you. I have given them to you. That's past tense. But Joshua's looking at a city full of people. There's a king and there's armed people inside. And God is telling Joshua, "I have given that to you. See, I have delivered it into your hands. What do you do What do you do when what you see doesn't look like what God has promised you? Joshua could have said, hold on, wait a minute, Lord. You're not seeing what I'm seeing. I don't know where you're at right now, but I'm looking at a city that's big, got big walls, fortified. That doesn't look like it's delivered into my hands. What are you talking about? Is there another Joshua you're talking to around here somewhere? Because I'm not seeing this. And probably sometime in your life you've seen that. Maybe you'd be going through it right now. God has promised you. He's promised to be with you. He's promised you peace. He's promised you comfort. And right now you're going through some stuff and you're going, now wait a minute, God. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you've promised me. But what I'm seeing doesn't look like what you promised me. What do you do when God is speaking stuff over your life that is not materializing? What do you do when the preacher is preaching about joy and you go home depressed? Sometimes the preacher is preaching about joy and the preacher goes home depressed. You see, the enemy loves to use your problem to block your perspective. Jericho, like I told you, wasn't a big city, but it had big walls. And historians tell us that there are about five different ways to deal with a fortified city, to deal with walls, okay? Five different ways. But God's plan had nothing to do with conventional warfare. Have you ever heard of this before? I mean, like Hannibal or Alexander the Great, they didn't deal with walls this way. This had never been heard of before. Of course, those guys came later, but they didn't even use this same technique. In the history of the earth, you don't deal with walls by taking a lap, then going back and taking a nap, getting up the next day, taking a lap, going home, taking a nap. Try that 6 days, and the seventh day, take seven laps and blow your horn and shout, and yay! That doesn't happen these days. It happened here. Same God. I'm going to tell you, the same God that can take down the walls of Jericho is the same God that can take down the walls to your problem. Sometimes in order to be victorious, you have to be willing to do something that may look a little bit ridiculous. I will tell you, I believe that one of the great things about worship is that it enables you to gain a higher vantage point. Remember I told you these walls were big? They were thick and they were tall. They couldn't really even see in. Had they been able to just take a look inside, they would see the people going, shaking in their boots. Or sandals, or barefoot, whatever they were wearing in their man dresses. But they were shaken. All right? They were afraid. They would have seen people hungry and starving because no one went in, no one went out. The supply train didn't stop at Jericho, folks. Whatever. They'd been there a little while, and they had probably consumed a lot of the food, maybe most of the food. There were people hungry. There were people thirsty. They didn't have resources. I mean, Joshua could have just sat outside and just waited. They'd all died inside of starvation, I guess, or disease. But you see, worship, when they praised, they were able to gain a higher vantage point. They were able to spiritually look past the walls, look over the walls. They worshiped. Enables you to see past the walls of your problem, too. Worship helps you understand that reality is not what you can see, but reality is what God has said. The reality is that your problem has taken up a defensive posture because if you'll listen and if you will act, you and God are about to unleash an attack and conquer your problem. But so many people never take the first step because our perspective gets blocked. We sit back and we think, oh, that's too big for me. I can't accomplish that. This thing's got a hold on me. I can't shake loose of it. I just can't do it. I'm just going to give up. Here's the problem. Just because God promised it doesn't mean I possess it. Did God promise them the land? Did God promise them Jericho? Did they possess it yet? But God said He did. God said, I have delivered it into your hand. But just because He said it didn't mean that they possessed it yet, right? Sometimes our perspective gets blocked. and we can't see. Now, we're not talking about walled cities in your life, right? We're talking about real life stuff. We're talking about success at work. We're talking about success at school. You're not a straight A student. You can't. You're never going to get into college with those kind of grades. You can't even play good baseball or football or volleyball or softball. You're not even. How are you going to get to school? Nobody in your family's ever been to school. What makes you think you can go to school? What makes you think you can get a college degree? What makes you think? Why? You see, this is what the old devil is saying to you. You can't do all this. You can't lose weight. Your mama was fat. Her mama was fat. You're fat. You just got to deal with it. You can't get past it. You can't get over it. And that's what the devil is telling you. He's blocking your perspective to the promise God has for you. Depression just runs in your family. You just have to deal with it. That's what the old devil is telling you. But praise will lift your perspective and allow you to see into the promise. The second thing, I believe, that causes us to give up, to quit, is that sometimes our progress isn't always obvious. Right? Let's look at verse 3. It says, he said, march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry the trumpets, the ram's horns, and the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpet, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people, everybody can go straight in. Okay? This is what God is telling Joshua. God is telling Joshua this. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be encouraging? If like on day one, get it? Here they go, marching around the city, taking a lap. Lap one complete. They look up, and that top layer of bricks just fell to the ground. Oh, there's progress. That's progress. Let's go home and rest up. We'll come back again tomorrow. And on day two, they march, they take a lap. Blowing horn. Take a lap. A stroll. Look up. The second row just fell to the ground. Wouldn't that be encouraging? They could calculate, okay, if this keeps going, then okay, maybe about 7 days of this, and they'll be on the ground, and we'll be able to go straight in. Got it. I'm encouraged. Okay? That would be nice. Sometimes we say, Lord, if you want me to keep walking, I need to see that it's working. Right? Hello? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? That's the way life is. Sometimes we think, well, I just need to know that it's working. I'm willing to do it, but I got to know that it's working. I have to know that what I'm doing is not in vain. I have to know that it's accomplishing something. Raising kids. There's a Jericho. Lord, is it working? Is it working? I don't know. I'm just going to walk. Taking this lap. I'm going to stop. Oh, Lord, it ain't working. Oh, Lord, it ain't working. What am I going to do now? And sometimes we just get frustrated. Our progress isn't always obvious. We talked about weight issues. I'm just talking about real life stuff, folks. Real life stuff that can be Jericho's in your life. Weight issues. I dieted. I diet. I'm telling you my story, folks. I'd lose 40 pounds. I'd lose 40 pounds. Then I got called to Dolan, and I gained 50 pounds back. Because they got some good cooks here at Dolan Baptist Church. But this was a cycle in my life for many times. I'd lose 20 pounds. I'd gain 25 back. I'd lose 10 pounds. I'd gain 15. And that's how I ended up at 400 pounds. I just kept going up and up and up. I'd lose and I'd gain more than I lost. That's not progress if you're trying to lose weight. If you're trying to gain weight, that's progress. But I wasn't trying to gain weight. Maybe financial struggles. Anybody going backwards? Seems like, man, I work. I haven't put in 60 hours with all my overtime, and there's still not enough money at the end of the month. There's still not enough. I'm still, here I go. I finally got this paid off, and I got this paid off, and I got that, and I got this thing that I needed, and now my transmission goes out. You see, I'm just talking about real life stuff here. Real life. Maybe you've been praying for somebody. Maybe you've been praying about somebody. Praying about issues. Maybe there's you've been praying for somebody to be healed from cancer or from some other disease. And you're praying. And listen, you're praying. And you're praying. And you're praying. And you're praying. And you're on your knees and you're at the altar. And every time that you have an availability to pray, you're praying. And you're praying and praying and praying. And the person is getting sicker and sicker and sicker. That hurts. That hurts. Maybe it's a relationship problem. Maybe you're praying for your wife. Maybe your wife, you're praying for your husband. You're praying for him. You're praying for him. You're praying for him. You're praying for him. And it seems like the more you pray for him, the farther away they get from you, from God, from whoever, from the family. Maybe you're praying for your husband and your son because their relationship isn't great and they're having a struggle. That's not a personal testimony because our relationship is good with me and Zachary. And I love spending time with him right now. But you know, those things happen. There were times when it wasn't. There were times when I was like, wish you would hurry up and graduate and get out. Well, then he graduated and he's still at home. God says you're going to have to walk by faith, not by sight. You're going to have to believe it's working even when it doesn't look like it. So here's the question I have for you. Will you keep doing God's will even when it doesn't seem to be working? Will you forgive even when they don't return the favor? Maybe you pray and pray and nothing happens. And God wants to know, will you still pray? Will you still pray when I'm not showing you any progress? Will you still be faithful to me? And maybe this sermon is just for me today. Because maybe God's asking me, will you still keep preaching the gospel when time after time after time you preach your heart out and nobody responds? Will you still preach the gospel? But God tells me good news I have for you, Michael Nix. Good news, because Jericho's walls will fall. Amen. And when they fall, people like Ed Smith will come down and they'll get to experience a life of hope and an eternity in heaven. Because you didn't stop short, but you kept on marching. And that's encouraging to me. And I want you to be encouraged because there's something in your life that you struggle with. And it's bringing you down. The old devil's using it to beat you up over the head with. And I want you to know that God has given you victory over it. Just because your progress isn't obvious does not mean your faith ain't working. You just walk. You just walk. You just walk. You just walk. You just keep on keeping on. Don't let your motivation come from the progress, but let it come from the fact that you've seen the promise. And praise is the key to gaining that perspective on that promise. If you're taking notes, you need to write this down. The outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is yours. I left my watch in the baptistry room, so we're not on the clock. Yesterday, I've got to tell you a quick story. Yesterday, my wife, Sunday school class, Brother Hal teaches the Sunday school class right here in the sanctuary Sunday morning. They did a service project for a recently widowed woman in our church. Actually lives in our neighborhood. And so I got up. We were supposed to meet at the pool at 9 o'clock. I knew that I had a weed eater that I needed to tune up a little bit, and so I got up at a couple hours earlier so I'd get out there, and I started messing with this weed eater. And I got there, and I got it started after pulling on it for too many times. Finally got it started. And then I was running it. I knew I needed new twine, so I was running it. And then it quit. Never could get it started again. 30 minutes I tinkered with it. Took the spark plug out, checked the fuel, all that stuff. Cut my finger wide open on it. I was like, man, I wanted to throw that thing so bad. I want to throw it. You know, sometimes God is so good to give me an illustration. And sometimes I wish he'd just stop giving me illustrations. Because then I took that thing, I finally just said, all right, before I break it, before I throw it and pitch a fit, I'm just going to set it aside. And I set it aside. I didn't throw it. I set it down. Thought, okay, I'm just going to get my lawnmower started. I went and started my lawnmower. Battery was dead. So I put it on the charger and thought, well, while that's getting charged, I'm going to go get my trailer. And I got my little buggy, my little thing, and I went and hooked up to the trailer. Brought the trailer around with the tire was flat. So I plugged in my little air compressor. Guess what? My little air compressor built up to about 60 pounds. It wouldn't build up any farther. If you know anything about air compressors, I need your help. It wouldn't build up any farther. It'd stop at 60. Well, I thought, well, shucks, what am I going to do now? I went ahead and aired up the tire on the trailer. Good. Okay, went to start the lawnmower. It was turning over, turning over, turning over. The fuel line was plugged. So I thought, okay, I've got my compressor. I got 60 pounds. That ought to be enough. I took the fuel line loose. I put that nozzle on there. I shot it. It went back into the tank. If you're a guy, you know what I'm talking about. I pressured up the tank. Okay. Then when I took that airline off, guess what happened? Gas sprayed all over me. I spit in gas. I put it back on there. And let me tell you something. I thought at this time, I thought, I'm just done. That's not even my Sunday school class. That's my wife's problem. But then I remembered this message today, and I thought, oh, my goodness, Lord. I didn't need to know this lesson. I'm going to preach it. And God said, maybe you just need to experience it before you can really preach it. All right? So here I am, covered with gas. In my cut, it burns, and I'm just, I'm upset. I finally get it on there, get it started. All right. Okay, all that's done. I drive it around, get it up on the trailer, and I look under there, and there's a bar that holds my deck plate to the frame and all that keeps it from swaying. And it's come loose, and it's bent. And I thought, I get in there, I take that out, I'm pounding it out, bending it out, and smash my finger, and I'm, if I had a, maybe many years ago, I might would have cussed or something, but I beat it out, and I finally got it going, and I stuck it back in there, got it going, thought, all right, now I'm good to go. Threw some yard tools on the trailer, hooked it up to my bugger, it was hooked up, and I took off. Told Rebecca I'm going, I got gas and all that. I'm headed down the road, just past Floyd Rollins' house. It's bumpy, the roads are bumpy, and I look back and things are flying. My hoe that I had fell off the trailer, ran under the tire, so now I have a hoe with a broken handle, and the hoe is not like this, now it's like this. I thought, now what? And well, I found out it was all bumpy because my tire blew out. You see where I'm going with this? I've made like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 laps. And I'm thinking, I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm not that far from home. I can just turn around and go back. Again, this is my wife's problem. It's not mine. And God wanted me to go through that so that I could honestly preach this to you today. Because God wants you to know, don't quit. Don't stop short of accomplishing what God has for you. Notice what Joshua did not tell the people. Remember I told you, okay, listen, just real quick, Joshua, I'm not going to read it all because I know we're going short, but going long. But God told Joshua the full plan, right? He said, you're going to march once each day. On the seventh day, you're going to march 7 days and the walls will come down. Okay? What did Joshua tell the people? He didn't give them all that information. He said, all right, boys, we're going to wake up in the morning. We're going to march one lap. That's it? Yep, we're going to march one lap. Today, that's what we're going to do today. Okay, we're just getting this ready. We're just getting ready. The next day, they get up. All right, Joshua, what are we going to do today? He said, we're going to march another lap. And they're like, really? He did not tell them how long it would take. He didn't tell them, on the seventh day, the walls are going to come down. The seventh day is our day. He didn't tell them all that. Can you imagine? Guys, it's easy for you to imagine this. Can you imagine you're the soldier and you're walking around this thing and you come home to your wife and she's going, oh, honey, tell me all about it. I want to hear all about your day. Okay? Which, if you're not married, this is code word for go ahead and tell me something real quick because what I really want you to do is ask me about my day. And then she's going to, for the next 2.5 hours, tell you about her day. And she really wants to do that. And you need to allow her to do that sometimes. But you come home sometimes. You come home and she says, honey, how was your day? He's like, oh, he's good. He's good. What'd you do? Did you kill some Jerichites? Whatever they call them, Jericho. Did you kill some people today? Did you win? What'd y'all do? He said, oh, no. We just, we're getting prepared for it. We're kind of scouting it out. We just walked. Oh, okay. Next day, you come home. Okay. honey, tell me, how was your day? What did you do today, honey? Tell me, I'm excited to hear it. Well, remember that, what I told you yesterday? It was just more of the same. Just ditto that. Day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. Can you imagine? The difficult thing is that they had no idea how many days of this they had left. They didn't know that, oh, I'm going to do this for 6 days, and on the seventh day it's going to be worth it. They didn't know that. They just knew that today was one more lap. Today is one more lap. They didn't know how many they had left. We want some encouragement. We want encouragement. Any guys ever play football? If you ever play football, raise your hand. Basketball, anybody play? Gals, girls, softball, baseball. Anything where they made you run? Yeah, track. Did they ever tell you, or did they often tell you how much you had to run? I remember when we were running full pads, running lines, back and forth, back and forth. We'd run one. It took about 4 or 5 minutes to run one segment of lines. We'd run it. We'd stand there for a second and say, on the line. And we'd go again. They didn't tell us, okay, we're going to do 10 of these, and we're going to count them down for you. They didn't do that. We just ran until the coaches got tired of watching us run, right? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. We just run, and we didn't know. We didn't know we had one more. It'd been nice if they'd have said, all right, we got three more. All right, we got two more. All right, we got one more. I mean, that would be encouraging. I can do that. But to not know, all right, is this one more time, or are they going to make us do this till tomorrow morning? Are we going to do I have one more, 10 more? At least tell me, even if it's a lie. Give me something. I need something. And sometimes we're like that. Lord, I need something. Give me something. Tell me how much longer I have of this. How much longer is my relationship going to be in the tank? How much longer am I going to be battling this stuff? How much longer do I have to fight this depression? How much longer am I going to fail in my battle with this addiction? How much longer am I going to have all this financial trouble, Father? How much longer is my marriage going to seem unfulfilling? How much longer am I going to have to deal with this teenager in my house? I think the third reason people stop short is because of this. Because just like teenagers in your house, the process is often open-ended. Right? We think, okay, you're 18, you graduate high school, see ya, sayonara, hasta la vista, baby. Have a great life. Bring the grandkids back. You know, okay? Do y'all know that that really very not, it's kind of rare that that happens? Usually, I mean, I'm not complaining a bit, but I've still got a 19-year-old in my house. Right? I'm not complaining a bit. I hope he stays there till he gets married. That way I can keep an eye on him. But the truth is, we don't ever know. It's open-ended. It's open-ended, okay? Life is not like NASCAR. I love NASCAR. There's a race this afternoon, and I'm DVRing it, and when I get home, after we party and have cake and ice cream and chicken and whatever else we got back here, casserole, I'm going to rewind it, and I'm going to watch my race. But I know that it's a 500-lap race. The race car drivers know it's a 500-lap race, right? They can build a strategy to get to lap 500. They can, their last pit stop, they back it up. If they can run 50 laps, they back it up. They're going to stop on lap 450 so that they know they have just enough fuel to make it to the end, right? And sometimes it'd be nice if we knew that. Where's the end? I need just enough fuel just so I can get there. And counting them down, counting them down, counting them down. But you never know when the last lap is. So don't quit. Don't let your emotions tell you to give up. Don't let discouragement keep you from possessing the promise that God has already spoken over your life. Wouldn't it be a shame to quit on the last lap? Wouldn't it be a shame if those guys were marching and on day six they went, you know what? Joshua's done gone crazy. He's lost his mind. This is idiotic. This is stupid. I'm going home. Wouldn't it be a shame if victory was just around the corner and they quit one lap short? Oh, my friend, wouldn't it be a shame if victory is right around the corner in your life and you quit one lap shy of victory? Don't let laps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 be wasted. Don't let the first 100 years of existence of this church be wasted. You keep walking. Maybe it's one more lap. Maybe it's two. Maybe it's 10. Who knows? But one thing I know, that there's one last lap because I made one more today. Embrace it. I don't know how many more I've got, but I know it's one less because I just made another one. And I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep circling that city. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep at it. I got one more in the bank. And I'll tell you this, the longer the race, the sweeter the victory. The reason I think 50% of marriages fail today is because people give up on lap six. I believe the teen pregnancy is so high because kids give up on lap six. Lord, I've been good for a long time, but I'm just tired of being good now. I've been keeping myself, saving myself for this long, but I'm tired of it. I want to experience something new. I want to experience something fresh. Drugs, alcohol abuse, you name it. I believe it's all because people throw in the towel and give up the fight when victory could be just around the corner. But you can't do this in your own strength. If you could just take one lap and shout and the walls fall down, you'd think you did it. You'd think you did it on your own. But here's the problem. The process prepares you for the promise. Had God just given them that, they wouldn't understand what it was going to take for them to go in and continue to conquer the rest of the promised land. They needed this. They needed this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. This is printed in your bulletin if you have it there. It says, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. You want another catchphrase for today? Write this down. God has to prepare you for what He has prepared for you. He has to, you see, it wasn't just about conquering. It was about building stamina. It was about building up confidence. And that's what God wants to do in your life. And if you will act like every lap is your last, guess what? One day you're going to be right. If you keep saying, is this the day that I get it? Is this the day that I get victory? Is this the day that I conquer that? Is this the day that I don't crave that thing that I've been craving so much for so long? Is this the day? If you keep walking, you keep going, one of these days you're going to be right. As this church enters into the second century of existence, I pray that we don't stop short. I pray we don't stop on six. I pray we don't give up. I pray we go all the way and see just what God has planned for Dolan Baptist Church. You see, I'm just an old construction worker who decided to quit stopping short one day. Decided to quit stopping short of what God had planned for my life. And I gave myself to the leadership of Jesus Christ and said, God, I'm your man forever. And He replied, He said, I know. I've always known. It's about time you stepped into the promises I have issued for you now. Saddle up. We've got work to do. And I can tell you that I never thought that I would have the honor of standing before a crowd of people teaching and preaching about the truths of God's Word and watching God do some miraculous things in people's lives. That same God has bigger plans for your life too. Will you join me? Will you join me and let's make some laps? Will you say, God, I'm your guy. God, I'm your girl. Will you step into the promises that God has already issued to you? One promise is God said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Another promise that God says is, if you'll confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's a great promise, isn't it, Ed? That's a great promise. If you haven't claimed that promise has been made to you. But if you haven't claimed that promise yet, oh friend, don't walk out of here today. Don't stop short. Don't stop on six. You come all the way. Maybe you took a day off. You thought, I don't feel like walking today. Honey, I'm staying home. And you decided to quit on lap 4 or 5 or 6 or lap 27 or lap 498 or lap 2000. See, you never know. You don't know when the end is. You don't know when victory comes. And maybe you just got tired. And maybe you've said, you know what? I'm just going to lay low. I'm tired of it. Let me encourage you. Get back up. Put your sandals back on. Get to walking. Get to marching. Get to praying. Get to praising. Get to lift. Get your perspective right. Today. Today. Somebody needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior today. Somebody needs to come back to Him and rejoin the fight today. Whatever your need is, whatever your need is, I'm going to be standing right here in the front. You come see me. My wife is going to be standing with me. If you're a woman and you want to get some prayer and want to pray with a woman, that's why I have her here. So she'll be here with me. You come. The altar is wide open. You come and you just get right with God. You do whatever you need to do. If you want to join this church today, like Ed Smith did, this is that time. You come and see me. But don't walk out of here. Don't walk out of here the same way you walked in. Don't walk out of here selling yourself short. Go all the way. Go all the way. Because when you do, when you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. Stand to your feet. Let's receive what He has for us today.